visiting the doctor, and easy access to other services you may need. Learn more at harrisonhealth.org.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. A lot has changed in the past year. The speed limit has not. Speeders can expect to be stopped. Speed kills. Please slow down. Extra enforcement now on Minnesota roads.
Health is like a currency, you know. Not everyone is given it, and it's really important to take care of it. Hello, my name is Fatuma Ali, and I recently graduated at the University of Minnesota this May. Some of the ways which I stay healthy are I take a lot of walks. I take long walks. I try to incorporate like some type of fruit or veggie or drink more water or something to stay like healthy. Or, you know, even like if it's not something you ingest per se or do, you can also like engage in positive content, you know, watch good videos about your health, or you can watch a video of a cat, like just being cute, or a dog, anything that helps reflect your overall state being positively, it's good. Another way I stay healthy is I stay up to date with my COVID-19 vaccines. I think it's very important to make sure you're up to date with everything because a lot of things are unpredictable and you don't know when things can come or leave or in per se. And I think it's very good to protect yourself no matter what it is. When I decided to get my shots, I was nervous at first because this whole COVID thing was pretty new and everything, but I just honestly, you know, I just said Bismillah, which means in the name of Allah. I just said Bismillah, Allah, I trust you, whatever happens, happens, you know? It's better to be safe, like do your part, but trust the rest to Him, leave the rest to Him. And it's better that I try to do something than, you know, just sit here and like worry, you know, worry about what can I do, what can I do? It's always better to be safe than sorry. My name is Fatuma Ali, and I am up to date with my COVID vaccines.
Hello, Counterstories listeners. We have been doing this show in various formats for 10 years. In those 10 years, it has always been the four of us, Lee Lee, Luz Maria Frias, Anthony Galloway, and Don Eubanks. In March of this year, Don passed away. He was our friend, our mentor, our family member, and he will be greatly missed. In the weeks to come, as we take time to grieve, mend, and reflect on Don's life and his immense impact throughout the state, we will be re-airing some of Don's favorite episodes and topics. Welcome to Counter Stories, a program by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Halee Lee, owner of The Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers, and Counter Stories producer.
And I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate of Dendros Group.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, former Attorney General and happily retired or semi-retired, working on some fun stuff and happy to be here and join life.
And our usual host, Anthony Galloway, couldn't join us today, wasn't feeling good. So we hope you're feeling better, Anthony, and we'll see you next week. We do have two really exciting guests joining us this week, and I'll have you each introduce yourselves. We'll start with you, Representative.
Great. Thanks, Lee. Hi, everyone. This is Representative Liz Lee from St. Paul's East Side. I am the first woman to ever represent this district in the history of the state, which is a little crazy. But I guess, you know, 2023 is better late than never. And also, you know, grateful to be the first Asian person to represent this district that is also one of the highest Asian populations in the state. And our census tracts in the district have the highest concentration of Hmong folks in the entire country. And so as a Hmong person, really honored to be that person for the East Side and for St. Paul and for the state.
We're so happy to have you join us. And Vanessa?
Yes, I'm Vanessa Young, and I am the director and co-founder of 30,000 Feet, well, director of programs. And again, I am so happy to be in community with you all in this conversation. Thanks so much for inviting us. And yeah, looking forward to keep chatting with y'all. Let's get it.
All right.
This has been a topic we've talked about a lot, you know, trying to get a conversation going and who would be the right people to have speaking on this. And I think we found the right people to be talking about this topic with us. We recently did our 2023 legislative wrap-up session, wrap-up mini-series. And during the 2023 session, Representative Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a education finance bill passed that was streamlining computer science education. And then this year you're introducing a new bill. And can you tell us about that new bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lee. So as folks may recall, last year we had a big surplus. And so the legislature took that and reinvested that back into our communities. One of the ways was our big education funding bill, right? So I had a really small piece. I had a bill that would start this process of streamlining computer science across all the schools in Minnesota. So we got $1 million for the Department of Education to hire like a CS expert to help school districts across the state and to also form a working group that would bring in diverse voices who are parents, students, teachers, business industry leaders, and you know, folks interested in making sure that our kids get computer science. So my bill passed last year to form that. That working group was tasked with putting together a state plan for Minnesota. And so they released a draft report in February. And so the bill this year is to fund the plan that they laid out for us.
Representative Lee, I was taken aback as I was reading some of the material that our producer, Hilly had sent to us. And in that, I saw these statistics that really had me, I guess, taken aback, by, for lack of a better word, which is that only 12% of high school students in the urban area have access to computer science within their school system, 12%. But more than twice of that percentage in the rural area, so 25%, right? And then 18% in the suburban area.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, reminding you that speeders will pay a price, maybe the ultimate price. Speed kills. Please slow down. Extra enforcement now on Minnesota roads.
KFAI is proud to present CJ Chenier and the Red Hot Louisiana Band at the Dakota on Monday, July 15th. Clayton Joseph Chenier is Creole music royalty. His father, the legendary Clifton Chenier, invented the style of music we know today as Zydeco. Raised in this indigenous American culture with its own distinctive language, cuisine, and music, CJ delivers soulful vocals along with jaw-dropping, masterful accordion-driven rock, Zydeco, and blues. Tickets for CJ Chenier and the Red Hot Louisiana Band can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
The program is supported by the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them.
Introducing the recipients of the 2024 Bush Fellowship.
Learn more about the 2024 Bush Fellows at bushfoundation.org/fellows.
What
KFAI is proud to present Rosie at the Cedar Culture Center on Thursday, July 18th.
Celebrating a new release and her first Cedar headline show, Rosie graces our stage with her gorgeous songs full of intentional lyrics and melodies, leaving the audience inspired and full of love.
Opening the show are local artists Mayada and Johnny Darko. Tickets for Rosie can be found at the Cedar Culture Center's website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Hello, Counterstories listeners. We have been doing this show in various formats for 10 years. In those 10 years, it has always been the four of us: Lee Lee, Luz Maria Frias, Anthony Galloway, and Don Eubanks. In March of this year, Don passed away. He was our friend, our mentor, our family member, and he will be greatly missed. In the weeks to come, as we take time to grieve, mend, and reflect on Don's life and his immense impact throughout the state, we will be re-airing some of Don's favorite episodes and topics.
Welcome to Counter Stories, a program by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Halee Lee, owner of The Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers, and Counter Stories producer.
And I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate at Dendros Group.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, former Attorney General and happily retired or semi-retired, working on some fun stuff and happy to be here and join life.
And our usual host, Anthony Galloway, couldn't join us today, wasn't feeling good. So we hope you're feeling better, Anthony, and we'll see you next week. We do have two really exciting guests joining us this week, and I'll have you each introduce yourselves. We'll start with you, Representative.
Great. Thanks, Lee. Hi, everyone. This is Representative Liz Lee from St. Paul's East Side. I am the first woman to ever represent this district in the history of the state, which is a little crazy. But I guess, you know, 2023 is better late than never. And also, you know, grateful to be the first Asian person to represent this district that is also one of the highest Asian populations in the state. And our census tracts in the district have the highest concentration of Hmong folks in the entire country. And so as a Hmong person, really honored to be that person for the East Side and for St. Paul and for the state.
We're so happy to have you join us. And Vanessa?
Yes, I'm Vanessa Young, and I am the director and co-founder of 30,000 Feet, well, director of programs. And again, I am so happy to be in community with you all in this conversation. Thanks so much for inviting us. And yeah, looking forward to keep chatting with y'all. Let's get it.
All right. This has been a topic we've talked about a lot, you know, trying to get a conversation going and who would be the right people to have speaking on this. And I think we found the right people to be talking about this topic with us. We recently did our 2023 legislative wrap-up session, wrap-up mini-series. And during the 2023 session, Representative Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a education finance bill passed that was streamlining computer science education. And then this year you're introducing a new bill. And can you tell us about that new bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lee. So as folks may recall, last year we had a big surplus. And so the legislature took that and reinvested that back into our communities. One of the ways was our big education funding bill, right? So I had a really small piece. I had a bill that would start this process of streamlining computer science across all the schools in Minnesota. So we got $1 million for the Department of Education to hire like a CS expert to help school districts across the state and to also form a working group that would bring in diverse voices who are parents, students, teachers, business industry leaders, and you know, folks interested in making sure that our kids get computer science. So my bill passed last year to form that. That working group was tasked with putting together a state plan for Minnesota. And so they released a draft report in February. And so the bill this year is to fund the plan that they laid out for us.
Representative Lee, I was taken aback as I was reading some of the material that our producer, Hilly had sent to us. And in that, I saw these statistics that really had me, I guess, taken aback, by, for lack of a better word, which is that only 12% of high school students in the urban area have access to computer science within their school system, 12%. But more than twice of that percentage in the rural areas, so 25%, right? And then 18% in suburban areas. I mean, that goes against kind of the intuitive understanding and expectation that we would have. So can you help us understand those numbers and whether you were surprised by those statistics as I was?
Yes, absolutely. We're on the same page. And I love that you're asking that to start out with, because it's really counterintuitive of what you would expect, right? Because everyone expects kids in the big city to be learning like the latest thing. And so, I asked Vanessa to join today because, she has this nonprofit that is working to address that need. It is true that like across the state, there have been kind of like patches where like nonprofits have stepped in, or I went to Central High School and, I was really lucky that we had teachers there who were supported by a principal who said, hey, yes, you can teach a couple of computer science courses and we'll put it in the course catalog and, students can do that. So there are kind of like these one-off programs at schools where, principals get it and they're supportive, or in, places like Hermantown where, again, interested teachers said, hey, we're going to teach this. There's also, some of like the big companies in Minnesota who said, hey, we're going to start, some after-school programs that we're going to fund. So what you're getting at is right now, there's all sorts of stuff going on and it isn't consistent across the state. I was also really surprised about that like rural urban kind of disparity. The goal of this bill is to make sure that, regardless of whether you're like in Mankato or Moorhead or Minneapolis, you have an equal opportunity to learn about computer science. And so our emphasis is like foundational computer science from K through 12. And that means like even when you're kindergarten, thinking about patterns and understanding and building those foundations for coding later. Getting at your specific statistic, I asked the Department of Education about that. And a little bit of that is like wonky technical stuff in the way that course catalogs for high school classes are listed. Right now, schools across the state are really inconsistent in how they publish the courses they offer. There's a course catalog that the department would like all those schools to report the classes that they offer students in, but there isn't a uniform way of doing that. And so right now, the data gathering piece is also a big issue, right? Schools can fax in their course catalog, they can call it in, or they can email it in. And so MDE said, that disparity might also just be that, there are certain schools maybe in rural areas that are better at reporting their data than schools in urban areas. So two-part answer where it's a weird technicality in the data reporting, but also it just reveals kind of like the inconsistencies in like how computer science is being offered and taught across the state.
And the need that we have in the urban area, right? Which is where Vanessa comes in.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So Vanessa, your organization, 30,000 Feet, supported this bill. And how does what this bill is trying to accomplish, how does that affect your work that you're doing? And tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Yeah, so the work that we do is really targeted towards youth in underrepresented areas of the tech industry, right? And so we work really hard to collaborate with schools. We make sure that students who, particularly students who have no idea what job they want to do when they grow up, just have exposure to a range of different opportunities in the tech industry, showing them different companies, different opportunities at companies, equipping them with certification, things of that nature so that they can have that exposure. We're missing a lot of faces of color and brains of color in the tech industry. And so that's been one of our biggest challenges is doing that education in the communities. We need them in some of our tech industry, because a lot of young people that we serve in particular have not a lot of opportunities to leave poverty, right? A lot of the jobs that are in our communities are, you know, really stuck, poverty-stricken jobs, right? And those jobs are becoming automated.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Hui Lee with co-host Luz Maria Frias and the late Donald Eubanks, and special guests Representative Liz Lee and Vanessa Young. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
You know, Vanessa, when I was looking at the metrics for your organization, I was struck by all the incredible things that you're doing as an organization, but also that this goes beyond, it appears your impact on the students' lives go beyond the technical substantive content that you're teaching them by way of increasing school attendance, right? So they're definitely being more engaged now than they were prior to your involvement, right? A 52% decrease in suspension rates and 64% increase in GPA, you know, and really engaging them. Can you speak more about how, what your approach is and how that begins to really see the full child, you know, I would say, rather than just being linear with some of the instruction that may be offered elsewhere?
You know, we know that it's very important to have a holistic approach to the work that we're doing with our students, especially because there's so much trauma and there are so many things that that are built up against them that cause them to not be successful. And so we do a very intentional job of doing case management for each of those students and regular check-ins with them to ensure that they are indeed on track for graduation. We try and just be as responsive to the needs that we see of the students and then help them to meet that goal.
Representative Lee, when I looked at the bill and I looked at those numbers, I interpreted them slightly different. It said 12% of high schools, right? 18% of high schools and 28% of high schools. So that means that the percentage of students who are actually getting in those classes are lower than 12%, 18%, and 25%. Would that be a correct assumption from that?
That's right. And because they're percentages, I'm extrapolating. But because we only have course catalogs or like data for high schools and in the courses, that's what we're basing it off of. But yeah, it is high schools, and then that is a proxy for the students they serve.
And I'm assuming that those classes generally are set up as electives, correct?
Yeah, that's the concern. So right now, though, in the Minnesota standards, you could take a computer science course, and I think it can apply for like a math credit, because students are required to take a certain amount of credits, right, to graduate. But the goal here is to say, computer science is important enough, like English or math. We're working towards having its own standard, and we're working towards making sure teachers are licensed to teach those standards.
Right. So for an old fogey like me, you know, who tries very hard to kind of understand this discussion around STEM, which didn't exist when we were in school, and or just even the area of computer science, a lot of youth and others are on social media. They use this technology, and I'm sure the youth are on TikTok and all these other social platforms. So what we're essentially trying to do is to get them not only because they use the technology, but what you're trying to do is to get them to understand how to create that technology, correct? And I think sometimes that helps people in understanding what this is about, because it's one thing to use it. And we have many in our community that don't have access to this. You know, I still hear stories that there, you know, not all schools have computers or iPads for all students to be able to use. So there's that issue. But then trying to switch them from just being a user to being a creator, I think is something totally different, and I commend your work in that area.
Yes, thanks so much, Donald. I love this conversation. That is exactly the goal, right? And I think what's really important is, you know, we have to understand, like, Black Twitter, Black users are what made Twitter what it is, right? And so, you know, our kids are the people who are, like, making these, like, tech products, like, what they are. And so I want to empower, like, our kids to create the next Twitter, right, or the next Facebook, because they don't have to just be consumers, you know, they have to be innovators and builders. And, you know, for me, the important piece is equity. But what does that mean, right? That means they don't just have to be consumers, they can be creators, and they can make money off this, right? We know tech jobs pay better, and right, these are the jobs that are mm-hmm. going to be well paying in the future. So, you know, that's why we all kind of have to have a foundational exposure and foundational access. And that's not the case right now, right? I mean, the other piece, and I love that you talked about this too, is when I talk about this in committee, I always say, I was really lucky when I was in kindergarten to be exposed to computers. You know, we had a parent from 3M who took time to just, you know, hang out with us and show us computers. And we used the 5-inch floppy disks to, you know, hold on to data and memory. But today, right, like 25 years later, we have websites, right, to upload and download things. And so, you know, for me, like in my lifetime, tech has changed so much. And that's why, you know, even if like kids don't become like the next tech entrepreneur, mm-hmm. it is going to be really critical for whatever jobs they have in like 10, 20 years, right, to have this foundational mm-hmm. base. So mm-hmm. I love this, love the conversation, and love, you know, just the way you're thinking about this. You're exactly right.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Hui Li with co-host Luz Maria Frias and the late Donald Eubanks, and special guests Representative Liz Lee and Vanessa Young. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
I was fortunate enough to go to summer school and learn what they called computer programming. Back in, 1971, 72, just kind of dated myself. And we learned basic Fortran on what looked like a typewriter. And our computer actually was a printout sheet. And the computer, while we were in St. Paul, the computer was housed in downtown Minneapolis. So that, you know, things have changed tremendously since that time, correct? I mean, I'm not even sure they even use that language anymore. And even my father had the opportunity to become a computer technician for control data back in the 60s. He was one of the few Black men to complete their class and actually become a computer technician. So I've had that opportunity to be able to see someone in my family do something like that. So I find this very exciting, these kind of opportunities. And I, you know, one would hope that we can convince our youth that this is an excellent opportunity and a great field to go into, because the potential is unlimited. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They can help some of the issues that we have, where we have technology that tracks our face but doesn't do so well on people of color, right? We yes. We hear those mm-hmm. issues all
That's
the time.
Right.
You know, and those are day-to-day applications that they have the opportunity to impact positively across the board.
I think when I was younger, we really wanted to get into doing this. We got one computer for our whole family, right? And there's 8 kids, and so we would have to take turns. And then when one of my sisters who got a degree in computer science, and she's now a UX designer, she would go to school and to college to code, learn to code, and she'd come home and teach the rest of us, because we wanted to learn how to code and make websites. And that was our only access to it, was like one of our sisters got a scholarship to go to school and learn how to do it and to teach us, you know? And nowadays, oh God, now I dated myself, geez. Sometimes when I talk with my nieces and nephews about it, they assume like, well, you know, it's TikTok, it's Instagram, it's already there. I don't need to learn all this other stuff. I mean, how do we talk to those kids? Because they know it makes money, but they're like, I'm going to be a YouTube star, or, you know, I'm just going to create a channel. I mean, I'm sure you hear that a lot in the work that you guys are doing.
We hear that from our youth all the time when it's time to talk about career exploration and diving into those things. And one of the things that we do with our older students, and we're a part of this really cool collaboration on the east side of St. Paul called the Exchange Partnership. One of the things that a tool that we are about to introduce to our students allows students to dream about, okay, I want to have this type of car, this type of, you know, apartment, et cetera, et cetera. What type of career do I need to do that, right? And so we give them then